Shabbat Shalom. This week's Parsha is Parsha Re'eh, Deuteronomy 11:26 through 16:17. Okay, the Parsha starts with verse 26. Behold, I set before you today a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and the curse if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside from the way which I commanded you today to go after other gods which you have not known. Deuteronomy 11:32, God said, and you shall be careful to observe all the statutes and judgments which I set before you today. They were instructed to utterly destroy all the idols and the altars and the pillars, etc. Okay, they were not to worship the Lord in the same way that those people did. We also find here instructions on tithes and offerings, which we covered last year's Parsha Re'eh, and that's on the archives in the website if you wanted to look at that. God restated not to follow after false gods, not to even inquire about how those nations served their gods. Okay, those nations even burned their children as sacrifices to idols. And the Lord told them in chapter 12, verse 32, what, and it says, whatever I command you, be careful to observe it. You shall not add to it or take away from it. God also warned about false prophets and dreamers who might work a sign or a wonder. Then they try to get them to follow after other gods. Then everybody would be put to death. Just because an apparent miracle is performed doesn't mean their message is true. If they're rich, it doesn't mean their message is true. And that still pertains for today. Always remember, what is the message? Does it give God the glory? Does it lead you to Christ? Does it line up with God's word? God said that even entire cities that tried to corrupt them were to be destroyed. All the inhabitants, all the livestock, you know, all the plunder, burn everything, destroy everything. You might remember that years later, King Saul failed to do that completely, and he lost his throne because of it. We see the law of clean and unclean meat is instituted here in chapter 14. Verse 3 begins the list. Now, the basic rules for anything living on land had to have both a cloven hoof and chew the cud, such as an ox, a sheep, a goat, a deer, or bison. You know, most of us, you know, we go to the grocery store and we'll see beef or bison. Probably not going to see camel, but you're going to eat that too. But you're not to eat pork. Okay, anything that lives in water had to have both fins and scales. That leaves out lobster, crab, oysters, shark, catfish, and the like. There is a poisonous fish that is out there called the puffer fish and known among other names. It's a really deadly, deadly fish. There's no antidote for the neurotoxin that's in it. Now, there are some idiot chefs that try to take a little piece of that and prepare it a certain way, and they don't die from it, but for the most part, it'll kill you if you eat it. So the fish and the land animals, they were told what we could eat. And I'd have to ask Dell to really verify it, and you probably agree that this is probably where the expression holy mackerel and holy cow comes from. So also there were various birds listed here that you couldn't eat. Eagles, vultures, falcons, owls, and bats. Okay, and the entire list is within there if you want to know every single thing. Every creeping thing that flies is unclean and shall not be eaten. You couldn't eat anything that dies of itself. But oddly enough, it was okay to sell it to a foreigner. So what's the special of the day? Well, I have this meat over here, you know, but you don't tell them that it's roadkill or it died by itself. But you couldn't eat it yourself. You were not to boil a young goat in some other's milk. Now, this is where the writers of the Talmud took it further. In typical Jewish culture, you can't have a cheeseburger or meat and milk at the same table. Okay, but that's not what the Torah actually teaches. But what they were doing is putting a fence around the law with the idea of, well, if you can't get over this fence, then you can't get over that fence and break that law. And this is the kind of thinking that the Jews ended up with, 613 laws. A release of debts is instituted in chapter 15, that at the end of every 7 years, you shall grant a release of debts. And this is where we get our bankruptcy law from. One can declare bankruptcy in this country once every 7 years. Generosity to the poor is here as well. There wasn't any real welfare system. There was no government agency taking care of the poor. That was our business. And so you might say this is where God's welfare system is instituted. Bondservants, they were released every 7 years. And if that servant didn't want to leave because he loved his master or his wife, who was his master's property, you know, or his household, he was to be taken to the door, and as a signifying this, they punched a hole in his earlobe through the door, and he became a servant forever. And the laws of keeping the Passover, the Feast of Weeks, and the Feast of Tabernacles is here also in chapter 16, verses 16 and 17. It states, 3 times a year all your males shall appear before the Lord your God in the place where he chooses, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, at the Feast of Weeks, and at the Feast of Tabernacles. And thou shalt not appear before the Lord empty-handed. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessings of the Lord, which your God has given you. So we see the Lord is fair in dealing with this, that the offering was based on according to how well off you were or not well off. If you were a crummy farmer, you probably didn't bring much, but you had to bring something. In the millennium, we're going to see these three feasts will still be in force. If you don't obey the feast or come to Jerusalem for the feast, God will withhold the rain. God is and always was very precise in what he says. No room to misunderstand. Remember back in chapter 11, verse 26, the blessing if you obey the commandment of the Lord, and the curse if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, all based on performance. None of us can completely obey all the commandments, and we're under a curse. But the good news is found in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Paul wrote in Galatians 3:24, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified with faith. In years gone by, a schoolmaster, this is kind of an interesting analogy that Paul used that term, schoolmaster. Schoolmaster teaches, but a schoolmaster also disciplines. He disciplines his student if they get out of line or if they're not getting it. You know, there was a day where the teacher could whack you with a ruler. And even not too many years ago in some schools, in some states, such as Texas, a principal can paddle a kid for being out of line. While it's true that we're saved through by grace through faith, don't think God won't discipline his children when necessary. How many of you as parents discipline your children when they have to? Because it's love. Are you God's child? Not everybody is, contrary to popular opinion. John chapter 1, verse 12, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name. Shabbat shalom.